There's other questions, actually, second talk actually, well, it entirely builds on the first talk, so you'll have certainly opportunity to chime in and ask questions. And so, really, if you have a Mogi and they've moved and gone elsewhere, the real question is, where did they go? And, it's the kind of question we sit around and think about. I mean, it's kind of an interesting question, I think. And so maybe this is something for Era. We can redefine, instead of moved and gone elsewhere, we can have moved and gone somewhere.
Where did they go?
You're going to have to put that in the update the document, I think. Because it's like, I mean, everybody's someplace, right? I mean, they just didn't go elsewhere. They are someplace. So let's kind of look and let's see where they go. So our learning objectives have to have those. To understand where Mogis go after they've moved, doesn't that sound philosophical? Where do we go after we move? Explore the implications of cross-jurisdictional Mogi migrations. So I think that's really important because, from the local health department perspective, these kids are believed to go elsewhere, and we want to know, well, are they elsewhere in my county or elsewhere someplace else? And then to consider the potential strategies to minimize Mogi impacts. And I'd like to talk with you a bit about how to apply all this. So just by way of the one-pager on background, we know from the previous talk, and perhaps if you just joined us here, Mogi status certainly does affect reminder and recall notifications. They can't get to where they're going, and it can affect vaccination coverage assessments depending on your jurisdictions. And I think this is almost kind of like almost funny to say, but Mogis can be a major issue for our local health departments. It's a big issue for some because you're basically responsible for a population that you may not actually have any control over. I think it's very safe to say that little is known about the migration patterns of Mogis between public health jurisdictions. And when I say little, I don't think there's anything. I don't think anybody's ever looked at this before. So this is, there it is, late breaking news here, folks. I don't think that anybody's ever looked at this before. So our objectives here were twofold. First, to assess the degree of movement between public health jurisdictions amongst kids who have this Mogi status, and then to describe the characteristics of those kids and look at their migration patterns. And so hopefully we'll answer Steve's questions. So how do we do the study? Collaboration, once again, with our friends at the Department of Community Health and the Michigan Care Improvement Registry. Couldn't do it without them. Once again, if this looks familiar, it's because it's the exact population I just talked to you about. These are kids 19 years and under who had Mogi status in MICR, focused on those same 12 health departments. And I'm repeating this, by the way, because I didn't know if people would join us midstream here. But this group was, as I said, identified in August of 2009, southwest corner of the state, 15 counties, 12 health department jurisdictions. So what did we do? We just, again, to repeat, address information was standardized. Now you're experts on that process. You know what that means. Standardized and matched using U.S. Postal Service National Change of Address database, and then we went and looked for those changes 48 months back, the absolute maximum that the NCOA will let us look back. We did it in two stages, as you know, parent name, and then we circled back around and did it with child name for the ones that didn't match the first time around. We summarized our results a little differently than what I showed you the first time around. This time, we're going to look at the change of address by county and local health department jurisdiction and state, so we can see, okay, geographically what's going on, and then again looking at some of the demographics of the kids who have these address changes. So let's take a look at how this National Change of Address database informs the process. Well, you know that there were 66,338 Mogis identified, which represents just 9% of the kids 19 years and younger in the study area. 30% could be standardized. 15% could be matched. Matched cases varied across child characteristics. Now, I did show you some of this in the first go-around, but I'm going to show you a slightly different view. This is, again, by age, but I sliced it differently just to kind of do something a little differently. So instead of age category, this is age and years along the x-axis. And, of course, the same pattern occurs, but you can see it even more precipitously. This is the standardization view. So, first of all, kids who get to be about 10 years old in MICR, there's a big drop-off in the addresses that can be standardized, okay? So you can see that pretty clearly. And then with respect to the matching, same deal, same drop. This is, again, age and years along the x-axis. And for those kids about 10 years, move my mouse over here, about 10 years and older, you can see that drop that goes way down, in some cases well below 10% in terms of the matching rate. So that's where we run into problems with this group. So, question of the afternoon, where do the Mogies go? Does anybody know? Well, we know, at least for these kids. So when we look at where these kids landed after they moved, and now again, this is only for the kids for whom we had a matched forwarding address, 52% had a forwarding address in the same county, okay? So, you know, I think this is one of these glass half full, half empty tests. So 52 had a forwarding address in the same county, which I guess means that 48% did not, right? So we'll talk about that in a moment. But before, I just want to kind of break this down in different ways that one could look at this. And that's really what this exercise is for the remainder of my talk. Not to necessarily give you everything you want to know and more about Southwest Michigan, but to actually show you how these things do vary by county and health department jurisdiction. So in this case, we happen to look at it by kids who moved to not only another county, but we started with, okay, who moved to another county in Michigan? Let's say right next door, like an adjacent county. So 10% moved like kind of to the county next door, and 6% moved to a non-adjacent county, which is to say someplace else in the state of Michigan. Kind of the interesting factoid of the afternoon, for those of you who come from the state of Michigan, or for those of you who read newspapers, you would not be shocked by the fact that a lot of people are moving out of Michigan and taking their children with them. 33% of these Mogi kids that we could locate actually have moved to another state, which is indeed a sad sign of the times, but it is absolutely the way it is. So where did the Mogis go? Well, the map shows up better there than it does on my screen here. So 67% remained in the state of Michigan. See, that's the optimistic Kevin Domkowski there. 67% remained in the state, so there they are, 67%. So we broke this up into different chunks. You could analyze this in many, many different ways. But the first big group was focused on four states. 12% were clustered in these states. Our nearby neighbors of Illinois and Indiana, and then Texas and Florida were the first big chunk. The second big chunk, another 11%, were clustered in kind of upper Midwest and down here into Georgia even, but then California and Arizona. And then the remainder of those who moved out of the state of Michigan were kind of scattered here and there about the remaining states. So again, 67% stayed in the state of Michigan, and a third moved elsewhere. So kind of to pause and hopefully answer the first part of what I heard Steve ask the question, you know, kind of like where do they go? From the global sense, we can say that, well, 67% stayed in Michigan, but a third didn't. A third went someplace else. And so maybe they're in your jurisdiction. I could tell. I know where they went. I can tell. So we could tell you that. So let's just take a few minutes in the final minutes of this talk to look at some of the county-by-county movements. And again, I don't want to go through too much detail. I want to just illustrate what one can do with this change of address information. So if you were so inclined, you could actually understand where your Mogis are going or are they in the same jurisdiction or not. So let's first start with kids who moved to the same county. Okay, so kids who moved, but they landed in the same place. Well, the green counties here, which, yeah, I guess you can see that pretty well, those counties have the highest proportions. Actually, the maximum, which actually turned out to be Kent County, had 64% of the kids who moved. So there's a lot of moving going on, but most of them stayed right in Kent County. So that's kind of interesting. Next group was kind of an intermediate, hovering just below 50% of them moving to the same county. That's these kind of, I don't know what that is. It's kind of an orange color. And then the red, that always looks so alarming, the red counties, these four counties actually had very low rates of moving to the same county, i.e. they're moving someplace else. Let's take kind of the flip side look. These are the kids who moved to another county, starting with those who kind of had lower percentages of moving to another county. We have The green and, I guess that is kind of an orange color, had relatively modest rates of movement out to other counties, whereas the red groups here, some of the same players, had relatively high, up to a third of them moving to another county in the state of Michigan. So these are kids who have moved out of these counties to another county in the state of Michigan. And then lastly, back to the question about who's moving out of state, we can look at that sort of thing from the destination, or rather the point of origin being these counties. These five counties in green had the lowest rates of moving to another state. Again, just as an example, Kent County was one of those lower percentage, the kind of intermediate ones. And then ultimately, these counties, the red ones, had the highest proportion moving to not just out of their county, but to another state. So, and kind of the winner, quote unquote, of that race would be Kalamazoo County, where 47% of the Mogis, they didn't just move, but they actually moved out of the state of Michigan. They've clean moved right out. So almost half of those kids are going out of the state of Michigan from Kalamazoo. And for people who know, you know, the state of Michigan, whatever, these are not shocking details. I mean, it's kind of the sign of the economic times. I think the thing to leave you with is there are some ways to understand where these Mogis are actually going, and importantly, understand whether or not they're still in your jurisdiction or somebody else's jurisdiction. So I do want to point out a couple of limitations before I close here. First, everything I've shown you so far is based on changes of address with kids who started out in Michigan, or at least their last known address was in this portion of Michigan. So it's not looking at everybody. And I guess the flip side is, I'm talking about out-migration, and it all sounds pretty daunting, like, you know, everybody's leaving the state of Michigan or something like that. So from this analysis, we did not characterize in-migration. And I know I had a conversation with the state demographer for Michigan, who looks at these sorts of things, and he was saying basically that yes, the net migration is negative for Michigan. People are net moving out, but there is a huge group moving in. So it's nowhere like the 33% I showed you. It's actually a lower rate than that. So I just want to give you that limitation that we are only looking at people moving out of these out of those counties, either to other counties or other states. We weren't looking at other regions. We weren't looking at other states moving in. So from this, I conclude that many children with Mogi designation have moved to new addresses outside of public health jurisdiction of their last known address. I think that's fair to say. And these findings underscore the importance of maintaining current contact information in a statewide information system. I think that's something that we can all acknowledge. So the implications, back to kind of the beginning, vaccination coverage assessments that include Mogis likely understate the coverage of the actual resident population. If you're responsible for people who are not in your state, that doesn't seem to really reflect your population. So I think that that's something that we can really work on improving in the months and time to come. And then also, let's suffice to say that kids that can't be reached by mailed recall notifications or these vaccination assessments that includes Mogis are actually including children that you can't even reach. So you're not only responsible for this group, they're under vaccinated, and there's nothing I can do about it with mail recall because I can't reach them. I think one thing I'd like to leave you with is that additional strategies are needing to reconcile the impact of these cross-jurisdictional Mogi migrations in terms of these vaccination coverage assessments and recall notifications. And one possible strategy would entail the use of this NCOA process on an ongoing basis. Just want to give you a sense of, you know, when I closed the previous talk, I was saying that we're doing this work with Medicaid and WIC and driver's license. One could start to entertain a system, or thinking of a system that would say, well, you know what, I've got these Mogis or I've got these addresses that need to be repaired. Perhaps I can use other data sources to either backfill missing ones or find more current ones and do that on kind of a regular basis to kind of keep my database as accurate as possible. Perhaps you might want to submit those data periodically to the NCOA, once a year or whatever. We have not completed our analysis to give you the ideal periodicity to that or anything like that, but I think it's suffice to say that doing it periodically would probably make sense, and especially prior to whenever you're doing maybe a major reminder recall campaign. You know, there's no sense of doing it afterward. You might as well clean up your database before you start sending the letters. So I'll just close with one quick look at that. From the same data that we were using in this study, we organized it by the month in which those change of addresses were filed with the post office. That's what you see across the x-axis from January to December. And I don't think it's a real shock to you to know that June, July, August, September are the months in which most of these change of addresses are filed. So I guess if a guy were going to do a reminder or recall in, let's say, October for flu, you might want to do the NCOA matching then, i.e. at the end of September, because that's when half of the change of addresses are occurring in those 4 months immediately preceding that. So just as an example, using flu reminders as one kind of near and dear example, that would be a really, really good time to do the NCOA process. So I will close with that, and I will acknowledge once again my collaborators at the University of Michigan, Michigan Department of Community Health, and the MICR folks, as well as our friends at the local health departments in the regions in this study, and then last but not least, our friends at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention who funded this study. So I will stop there, and I think we're ready for questions on any of this. I mean, it can be for the second session or the first, really.
Great. Thanks, Kevin.
I have a question about the address standardization. Is it the same as standardizing for geocode ready or no? Okay.
No, it's regrettably the same term, but it's not exactly the same term. It's not the same process. So what I would recommend if you really want to know what that means from the Postal Service perspective, go to the Postal Service website and they have a pretty good set of details there.
Hi. One thing that I was interested in was your in-migration thing. Is there anything within the NCOA that allows you to filter a search, say, give me everybody that wasn't in Michigan and now does live in Michigan, so we could get that list? Or I'm assuming not based on your presentation, but I was just curious.
Yeah, I'm unaware of a process like that, but I'm still thinking about it because of exactly that issue. I mean, you really want to kind of know where everybody's going, right? I mean, it's kind of, if you know, you leave me your card or something, and when I find the answer, I'll be happy to tell you, but I have not discovered the answer to that yet.
Hi, Scott Jeffries, State of Oregon. I was just curious about the migration patterns. Obviously, these are for the people that you could match through the change of address database, so it's a really small subset of the MOGIs. I'm wondering, is there any reason to believe that the ones who didn't fill out the change of address form, if they have different migration patterns than the ones who did?
Yeah, I think that's not... that's not a totally crazy idea. I think there could be some differences there. The trick is, how do you test it? So back to some of those other data sources, it's a little limited because right now what we have to work with, it's not national. So we have the national change of address, which gives us everybody, but you got to file a national change of address form. Well, if I don't want to look at that, I can look at Michigan, you know, Medicaid and driver's licenses and some things like that, but those are going to be people who are moving around in Michigan. So it's not going to fully answer your question, but that would be one angle, but it would just show people moving around in Michigan, not elsewhere. There may be other databases. I haven't quite gotten to that point in our analysis yet, though.
Any other questions for Kevin 1 or Kevin 2? Bless you. Go ahead, Sue. Come up to the mic so we can hear.
Yeah, is this a database that the census may have used in creating the roles for the current 2010 census?
Well, Sue, as you know, I can't speak for the Census Bureau.
I mean, I know you don't.
I don't know what they use.
Whether you had come across that.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I really don't know. It's possible. I really don't know. It's a great question. If you have any other questions after the fact or whatever, feel free to contact me by email or whatever. I'm happy to talk to you about it. Thank you very much.
Thanks again, everybody.